Let's rise on our feet this evening. Amen. How many love him this evening? He's a wonderful God. Amen, isn't he? Amen. Let's sing the song, I love him, I love him. Amen.
I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me. Oh, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary.
Oh, let's sing from our heart this evening that we love him. Oh, I, oh, do you love him? Oh, because he first has loved me. Oh, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Oh, one more time, I love him. Oh, I, oh, do you love him? Oh, because he first loved me. Oh, and he purchased our salvation. Purchased my salvation on Calvary free.
Amen. Amen. That's the truth. Let's sing the song, He Cared For You. Amen.
He cared for you. Oh, you believe it? He cared for you. Oh, true sunshine, oh, shadow. He cared for you. Oh, he cared for you. Oh, my brother, he cared for you. Oh, true sunshine, shadow, he cared for you. Oh, he cared for you. Oh, he cared for you. Oh, my sister. Oh, he cared for you. Oh, true sunshine or shadow. He cared. Oh, let's sing from where he cared. Oh, he cared for you. Oh, he cared
for you.
Oh, true sunshine, oh, shadow, he cared for you.
Amen. How many believe that he really cared for us? Amen. Amen. We'll sing the song, I Can, I Will, I Do Believe, and we ask Brother Max looking for us in a word of prayer. Amen.
I will, I do believe, I can, I will, I do believe, I can, I will, or I do believe that Jesus heals me now. I'm trusting only in the Lord. I'm trusting only in the Lord. I'm trusting only in the Lord, that Jesus, oh, heals me now, or I will, Lord. Oh, do you believe it tonight? Or I do believe. Or I do believe that Jesus is. Oh, I'll take him and his word. Or I'll take him his room. Or I'll take him at his word. He brings salvation. Oh, we can tonight. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, or I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe
that Jesus heals me now. Let's bow our heads. Yes, dear Lord, we thank you for yet another moment like this. God, grace has been sufficient for us, Lord. Father, we thank you for the day so far, our going out and coming in, Lord. Father, we thank you for our homes. Oh, it has been a sustaining power, God, that has sustained us. We thank you, the Lord Jesus, even in our working places, Lord. Father, you have been with us, Lord. Father, thank you for the generous mercies you have given to us also to be here. We give all the praise and honor and glory to you. And truly, Lord, this evening, we've come believing, Lord. Amen. We've come trusting in you. Yes. We come, Lord, that Father, tonight, once again, Lord Jesus, you already come in our midst, Lord. And Father, knowing, Lord Jesus, our heart desires, Lord. Amen. Father, we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord, even you will lift us up by your word. Amen. By inspiration, O Lord Jesus, and you quicken, O Lord, the Holy Spirit, O God, in us, for us, Lord Jesus, to give the kind of utterances according to your will, O God. Father, tonight, Lord Jesus, we know that we will be blessed, O Lord. We give all the glory to you once again, even as we commit the sound leader and the musicians, Lord, into your hands. Father, we want to praise you. There is no other one like you, O God. Father, we want to lift up your name, yes, because your name remains our banner, Lord. So, Father, as the leader, the son leader leads us to God, we pray the Lord, the Holy Spirit once again will quicken us, Lord, to give all the praise and honor to you, God. Yes. Both our hands, our voices, our heart, yes, Lord, the instruments, all, Father, we commit into your hands, Lord. Lord Jesus, your ears will be down tonight, Lord. And Father, receive our sacrifices of praise, Lord. We thank you. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know whether it's just right to pass this message. Brother, our precious brother, just give a note to me, and praise be to God. We believers, and we know that the Lord is with us. Amen. For this moment, we will like to remember, in our prayers, we will remember our sister Becky, that and the family that the Lord will actually sustain them and comfort them, because there has been a sad news. But to us, we know that Lord, He is in control of every situation. Praise the Lord. You remember, we prayed for her dad quite recently, and just a message has just dropped him that the Lord has called him to His glory, and we thank the Lord for it, because we know that everything works together for good. So we will remember our sister and the family, that the Lord will support and care for them and comfort them at this moment of trial. We, our brother who is gone also, we know he's already in the hands of the Lord. So we thank the Lord for everything. Praise the Lord. So let's bow our heads for a moment again. Dear Heavenly Father, these are one of the things that, Lord, when it happens, Lord, we are not shaken. Because, Father, we know the answer to it, O God. We know our precious brother is already, oh, you've kept him, Lord, waiting for the day, the Lord Jesus. Oh, we will all, even they will rise up first before we will be changed, Lord. And, Father, we shall see him once again. So, Lord, we commit into your hands, Lord, and even this moment, Father, we want to commit the family also into your hands, Lord. But, Father, you are the comforter. You will comfort them and strengthen them, Lord Jesus, this moment. And the family back home also, Lord, whatever preparation they are doing, Lord. Father, we pray that, Lord Jesus, you help the family, Lord. We thank you. We bless you, Lord, for it. And we are going to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Shall rise on our feet again. Amen. Amen. All what we can say is that by and by we will understand it better. Amen. You may not understand it today, but by and by we'll understand why it must be so. Let's sing the song By and By. Amen.
Run by, oh, when the morning, oh, when all the saints are gathered home, we will tell the story, oh, how we overcame. Oh, for we'll understand it better. And by, oh, we are often told, we are often and driven on the restless sea of time, summer skies and howling tempest of succeeded bright sunshine, in the land of perfect day, when the mist have rolled away, we will understand it better by and, oh, by and by, oh, when the morning, oh, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, oh, how we, for we'll understand it better by and by. We're often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren land. Oh, but we are trusting in the Lord and our courting His word, oh, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, let's sing by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of. For we'll understand better barren through temptation. Temptation's hidden snares often take us on our word, and our hearts are made to bleed for many loose words or deeds. And we wonder why to turn when we try to do our best. Oh, but we'll understand it better by and by and by, by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, or are we? For comfort will understand it better by and by and by and. Oh yes, Lord, when the morning, oh, when all the saints of God are, oh, we will tell the story, oh, how we've overcome. For we'll understand it better by and by.
Amen. Man, let's sing that one, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Amen.
His swift transition, oh, not over on moon can stand. Oh, build your homes on sincerity. Oh, my brother, hold to God's unchaining. Oh, you hold on. Oh, hold to God's unchanging. Oh, my sister, hold to God's unchanging. Oh, your hope's on tension, eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging, let us trust Him. Oh, trust in Him, who will not be. Oh, whatsoever years may bring, or if by earthly friends forsaken, oh, still more closely to Him. Oh, let us hold on to His hand. Oh, hold to God's unchanging. Oh, my brother, oh, to God's unchanging hands. Oh, build your homes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hands. Oh, you covet not this world's vain riches. Oh, that so rapidly decay. Oh, my brother, you see, to gain the heavenly truth. answers for day. Will never pass all that a sword unto his hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Oh, you hold to God's unchanging hand. You build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging. Oh, and a journey. Oh, when your journey is completed, oh, to God you have been true. Oh, fair and bright the home in glory. Your enraptured soul, your enraptured soul will hold you to God's unchanging. Oh, my brother, you hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, you build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, you hold to God's unchanging hand.
Amen, amen. How many desire to hold on his hand? Amen. It's an unchanging hand. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's ask him to fill our way with love tonight. Amen. Amen.
Oh, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. To the sad and alone, oh, fill my way every day with, oh, let's sing from our heart, Lord, my way every day with life. For as I walk with the heavenly thumb, you let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with, Lord, you keep us close, close to the side of my Savior and guide. Let me never in darkness roll. Oh, Lord, keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with, oh, Lord, that's a desire. Fill my way every day with, oh, with love as I walk with the heavenly. Oh, my Lord, you let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, soon the rain will be over and I'll travel no more. But abide in my home above. Lord, you let me sing, bless the King, or all the way to the shore. Lord, fill my way every with, oh, fill my way every day with, oh, as I walk with the heavenly time. Oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile fill my way every day with love. Oh, soon the rain will be over, oh, and I'll travel no more, but a part in my home. Oh, let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. You fill my way every day with, oh, fill my way every day with love. Oh, as I walk with the heavenly time, let me go all the way, oh, with a song and a smile, fill my way every day with love. Amen. I'm gonna believe that soon that race will be over, amen. And we'll travel no more, amen. Let's sing that part again. Soon the race will be over, and we will travel no more. And it should fill our way with love, amen. Oh, soon the race will be over, and I'll travel no more. Oh, but abide in my home above. Oh, let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Lord, fill my way every day with, oh Lord, you fill my way every day with love. Or as I walk with the valley down, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile, fill my way every day with love. Let's give a hand clap of praise tonight, amen. Amen, he's a wonderful God, amen. Hallelujah, let's sing this song, Be Still and Know That He Is God, amen. Still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Or I am the Lord that He. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Or I am the Lord that He. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth. Or in thee, or I put my trust in thee. Oh Lord, I put in thee, oh Lord, I put.
trust. Amen. Trust in Him tonight. We being still and we know that He is God. Amen. Amen. Let's sing the song, You Are Alpha and Omega. Amen.
Alpha and Omega, we worship You, O Lord. You are worthy to be.
Oh, let's sing from our heart tonight that is Alpha.
You are Alpha and Omega. Oh, so Lord, we worship You. Oh, Lord, You are worthy to be. Oh, Lord, we'll give You, we'll give You all. Pure, oh Lord, You are worthy to be. Oh Lord, we'll give You, we'll give You all the glory. Oh Lord, we worship Pure, oh Lord, You are worthy to. Oh, You are Alpha.
God bless you, saints. It's quite an unusual start, starting with the sad news about the passing of Sister Beck, his father. But we should never sorrow like those that have no knowledge, because death has no more sting, and our brother has been promoted. So every one of us is facing that appointment at some point in your life. It's going to put you at a corner. If the Lord tarries, we will, many of us, go that way. Amen. But our brother has finished his race. Amen. He's resting. It's up to us now that are faced with those things. And nights like this are nights that you would wish, when you're lying on your deathbed one day, you would wish that, oh, that Friday, I wish I was in church. But I'm glad that we are in church tonight. Amen. And we can take opportunity just to look into our lives and see whether when that day comes to us, we are also prepared to go. So just before we go into the reading of the word, perhaps we commit our sister and her family into the hands of the Lord for comfort. Prayer changes things. It carries you at this time, and it helps you to go through all these things, because it can be very difficult to lose a father or a mother. So let us pray and commit our sister into the hands of the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You, Lord, that Father, You gave to our sister a father, Lord, that raised her up in the fear of the Lord. And that Father, he believed also in You, Lord, and he has left a legacy for his family, for his friends, for many, many people that knew him, Lord. And tonight the people are rejoicing, knowing that he is safely in the hands of the Lord and that he has finished his course, Lord. We commit, Lord, the family into Your hands. Bless our sister, Lord. May you grant her grace, Lord. May you comfort her, for only you can comfort beyond what men can do. We commit ourselves also tonight in this place. As we look into your word, Lord, we desire, Father, that you may speak to us, that you may help us, Father, oh God, that our walk on this life may be made better, Lord, and that we may also be better citizens of thy kingdom. We commit this night into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I would like to read from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I haven't been very well since Monday. It's been a terrible roller coaster, but we thank the Lord that I'm here tonight. I was really hoping that when we come here, Brother Max will come and preach. That's how much weak I was, but I'm thankful that I'm here. So we want to look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. A small thought that I have that I thought we could use as a basis for prayer. I would like to read from verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have learned him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So Paul is putting a clear-cut difference there between the old man and the new man. The old man, he says, is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. But the new man, he says, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let us pray. Our Father, we come again before you tonight, Lord. Just these few words, Lord, that we have read from your book, Lord, but they are true. They are eternal, Lord. They were true the day they were said. They are true today. They will be true tomorrow. May you help us, Father, for we live in such an age, Lord, where we can go on for so long and then realize at the end that we have wasted many years. But tonight, Father, you have given us grace, O God, that we could look into these words, Lord, Father, and to find, Lord, something that would help us to look within ourselves to see whether we be the new man or the old man is in control, so that, Father, we may know what to do, O Father, before it is too late, Father. We commit this night into your hands. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. I will be a little bit different tonight because I'd been plagued with a disease since Monday. Terrible, terrible. And if this is how Brother George is feeling, I wonder how he's managed so far. Because it's been quite a time. But we thank the Lord that in the midst of it all, he gives us strength. And he's also given us some good news. Today, my wife sent me a message that her results from college came out. And she passed everything. Amen. With very good grades. Amen. So that was quite encouraging, and she was asking me, where are you going to take me to celebrate? I said, wait, you'll find out very soon, so here we are. We've come to the house of the Lord to celebrate, and we thank God for that. We didn't want to be the 9 lepers that never came back to say thank you, but we want to thank the Lord for what he has done. So we find Paul here is speaking about the old man and the new man. That you must put on the new man. And he's speaking about the old man, how he is fashioned, is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. That word deceitful is quite an interesting word because we are living in an age, the prophet says, where deception has come to such a level that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. The Bible says that. That in the last days it will be like that. So we are living in a time where you can easily be deceived within yourself. You can easily go on for so long and then come to a point where you realize that all the years that you have worked, that you have walked as a Christian, you were deceived. If you recall in the Bible, I think it's in Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus was speaking that the people came before him. And they said, Lord, we have done such and such in thy name. Lord, we have raised the sick. We have, I think I'll just read that scripture. Matthew chapter 7. So not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he does that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. So these people are actually asking the Lord to say, didn't we do these things when we were on earth? These people, they prophesied in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah? And these were not fake prophecies. These people, they cast out devils in the name of Jesus Christ. And it actually happened. Yeah? These people, they done many wonderful works in the name of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ says, on that day, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from you, from me, you that work iniquity. My, that would be a very disappointing thing. That you come to the end of your life after spending all your resources for the kingdom of God. And then you come and then Jesus himself says, depart from me. And there is no appeal there. You can't go and appeal to somebody. And there's nothing you can do at that stage. That's why whenever when we are still on this side of life, and something is said in a certain way that makes you to see that maybe I'm not walking right, or maybe something is not right with me, that's God's grace to you. Because it never happened to these people. They walked all their life doing all these wonderful works, and it never happened to them for them to come to a realization that I could be deceived. It's only on the last day when they couldn't do anything about it, when Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. How come he never knew them? And this is a serious thing that every time it happens to me that I see there's something not quite right. That's grace. That's real absolute grace of God for me to realize that I've got to make something right while I'm still able to. Yeah? Now, deceitful. It says that in the scripture that we read in Ephesians, there, chapter 4. Sorry, I just want to stick right to the scripture there. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Deceitful, something that is deceitful, is something that you think, that makes you to think that you are right when you are wrong. You actually look at yourself and you think that I'm right when you're actually wrong. That's the power of deceit. It makes you to actually look at yourself and say, I'm right. But you are completely off. That's how dangerous it is. That's why the Lord Jesus says it will be so close till it will deceive the very elect if it were possible. Yeah? Remember, he says that in a previous verse there that having the understanding darkened. So you are looking at yourself and seeing, but your understanding of things is darkened. It can't even see that you are wrong. Remember that Pharisee who was in the temple praying, and he says, Father, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that man over there. He wasn't joking. He was deadly sincere, thinking that I'm right. That man over there is a sinner, that publican. And he was looking at himself saying, I fast twice a week. I pay my tithes. I do this and that for the Lord. I'm not like those murderers and those publicans who take people's money and extort and things like that. I'm thankful that I'm not like that. I mean, if we look at human eyes, with human eyes at that man, the Pharisee, what blame would you put on him? No blame. These people spend all their lives in the temple paying their tithes religiously, and they were fasting twice a week. Some people can even go maybe a whole year. Fasting is a foreign concept to them. But these people were twice a week, so when he looked at himself like that, he said, Lord, thank you, I'm not like that publican over there. But the publican, the Bible says in his heart, he was praying, saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. So when you look at those two, when we consider them just briefly tonight, you can see that one of them was operating on the level of the old man, this Pharisee here. Because he was looking at his what he is doing, the works that he's doing and so forth, and he was operating on that level, and his understanding was completely darkened. He didn't realize that the word of God says, all men have fallen short of the glory of God. Yeah? But he looked at himself and justified himself and said, I'm not like those people. But this other guy here, he looked in his heart and he saw that there's something not right. And there was something in his spirit that desired to be right with God. There. It desired that it could be right with God. And he looked and he said, Lord, be merciful to me. You can see that his spirit was a kind of spirit that could ask for forgiveness. It wasn't a spirit that vaunted for itself. It wasn't a spirit that lifts itself and say, I'm not like those people there. But it was a spirit that could say, Lord, be merciful to me. So right there we can see that this Pharisee here, even the very fact that he was looking at other people and saying, I'm not like that sister there. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that sister with the high heels or something like that. Even the very fact that he could do that should have been an alarming bell to him to say, but what's wrong with me that I condemn other people like that? But his understanding was completely darkened. Yeah? And I really think that this kind of a Pharisee, this kind of a person is one of the people that Jesus spoke to and said, depart from me. I never knew you. And there was nothing that he could do at that time when the Lord says to you, depart from me, I never knew you. What will you do then? Because we have this opportunity here on earth now. While we are walking, we are not just here so we can grow up, go to work, raise children, eat food and die tomorrow. No. But we are here to make decisions. We are here to make a choice. Because God is never going to force upon somebody a choice whether to serve him or not. No. You have to use your free will to choose whether you want to serve God or not. And if you fail to do that now here, or you are deceived into thinking that you have made that choice at the right level, then you will be disappointed come the day of judgment. So Paul speaks about putting on the new man. It's a work that you have to do. Yeah? The new man and the old man. Where does this come from, that there's an old man and there's a new man? Yeah? I want to read again from the Bible, if you would allow me, in the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, from verse 21, I think. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For there are two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answered to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now we hear something here that Paul is speaking about. Bondwoman, free woman. And he's speaking of the story of Sarah and Haggai as an allegory. An allegory is like, I have a definition here, something. A story that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning. A story that can be interpreted to reveal a truth. Yeah? So Paul is saying this story of Haggai and Sarah, of the bondwoman and of the free woman, is an allegory. There's something in that story that can help us to understand about the old man and the new man, about the son of the free woman and the son of the bondwoman. Why is it important? Because he says that, okay. And he says, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So to be an heir is to inherit something. But we find the son of the bondwoman is not going to inherit anything. This is where I got my thought that many times as believers, we find that we fall short of some of the promises of God. We try, because there's a promise that was promised to Abraham, thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemies. Yeah? And all nations shall be blessed in him. Now the prophet explains this allegory and says that the true seed that was being spoken here was Jesus Christ. Yeah? But the son of the bondwoman was not going to be an heir to the promise. Yeah? Now, if Ishmael was standing before the gates of the enemy and he's trying to possess those gates and he fails, did God's promise not come? Was it not true? God's promise is true, but it was not to Ishmael. It was to the son of the free woman. So that's the problem. The prophet says that many times people try to possess the gates of the enemy when they are the son of the bond woman. If you are the son of a bond woman, that promise is not relevant to you. But if you are the son of a free woman, you are an heir to that promise. Then you can lay claim on that promise. Now, I want to go a little bit about this son of the bondwoman and say the way the prophet says it. Because the prophet explains about the bondwoman and the free woman that God had made a promise to say to Abraham. He said, you are going to have a son, and your son shall possess the gates of the enemy. And all the nations shall be blessed, yeah, through him. So there was a promise over the son. But because these people were getting old, Sarah was getting nervous that I'm getting old. My Lord is getting old. How then are we going to have this son? So she thought maybe she could do something to help God. Yeah? And she said, Abraham, why don't you take my maid, Haggai, and have a child with her? Maybe the promise of God will come to pass through that child. She will give me that child. Yeah? So when the prophet explains this story here, he says, Sarah doubted the word of God. Yeah? And through that doubt, a son was born of the bondwoman, Ishmael. Yeah? But the promise was not to the son of the bondwoman. Yeah? But later on, when God came and made the promise true, and then Isaac was born, now these two could not stay together. They persecuted one another. One had to be put away, as we read there in Galatians. Put away the son, the bondwoman and her son. Yeah? So just to go back to how the prophet explains it, that the real seed that was spoken of, the seed of Abraham, was Jesus Christ. Yeah? But in looking at Ishmael and Isaac, the promise was not unto Isaac. It was unto, it was not unto Ishmael, it was unto Isaac. Because she was the son of the free woman. Now the prophet mentions something again there and says, Sarah was like the church, yeah? Even Hagar was a church. She gave away her own child, church age of Martin Luther, yeah? She had a child and she gave away her child to another woman to raise, yeah? And then Sarah doubted the word, yeah? But then Mary believed the word, yeah? So he looks at this allegory here and types it with churches, with the church ages, and how God dealt with them, and how the promise is now to us who have believed the word by faith, yeah, as Mary believed. Now, the way I want to look at this tonight, just so it can help us to understand a point that I want to bring across, is we know that scripture has compound meaning. And we also know, the prophet says, that God deals with the individual the same he deals with the church. Now, I want you to really understand that. I'm not saying that God deals with us as a church. He deals with us as individuals. It is only Israel he deals with, the nation. But you as an individual, the way he's going to deal with you, he takes you through your church ages as well. And he brings you to a place where he reveals the seals to you as well. Yeah? So I want to take this allegory here of Sarah and Hagar and type it so that we can come not to the church here, but to the individual, you as a person. Yeah? So the Brother Branham says, I don't know if you have my quotes there. I think it must be one of the last ones, I suppose. It's not working. Oops, sorry. It's not working. Ah, okay. So here we are presented with a picture, the prophet says. The seed of promise started in a slightly doubt of the original promise. Yeah? See how it starts low in doubt of the original promise. God promised Abraham through Sarah to have this child. But now watch, the first seed of Abraham by the bond woman came by Sarah doubting that this could happen because she was old and past the age of bearing. So that's what we were just saying there. I think it's still not working. If you put the next one for me. So just this one here. It could not be heir with Ishmael, the seed of the bondswoman, or because of doubting. Sarah doubted God's word, that God was able to keep it. Notice Abraham. You see what I'm building on for Sunday morning. Abraham did not doubt it. Sarah did doubt it. She was the one. It was not Adam that doubted. It was Eve that doubted. So that caught my attention there to say, so the prophet is taking this allegory here, the story of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, and he's showing us something that it was not Abraham that doubted, it was Sarah. And when Sarah doubted, it produced Ishmael. Yeah? And then he says, it was not Adam that doubted, it was Eve that doubted. And when Eve doubted, what happened? It produced a man child. Yeah? But when we look at Sarah, when Sarah doubted, it produced Ishmael. And then later we find another one came, Isaac. And then later on we find Jesus Christ comes, the true seed. Yeah? But if we look at Eve here, when Eve doubted, it happened as well. She produced a man child. Yeah? But it wasn't God's provided way that God wanted for people to populate the earth. Yeah? She doubted and went beyond God's word, and it produced a man child, and the nature of that person was fallen nature, because it came not the way that God wanted this child to come. So what happened when Eve doubted? A son was produced, yeah? And he had, naturally he had a body, yeah? But we know that a human being is composed of three things, yeah? A body, spirit, and that spirit holds something, the soul, yeah? So when Eve doubted, he is a man now produced, just like when Sarah doubted, yeah? So the son of the bond woman that Eve produced was that one that was born naturally, yeah? But it had to have life from somewhere. But because it did not come the way God wanted it to come, it came with a fallen nature, yeah? It had to have life from God. God gave it a spirit, yeah? But that spirit came with a fallen nature, yeah? But later on, when Jesus Christ came, he was the son of the faith of Abraham. That's what happens to a believer when the believer what? Believes on the Lord and is born again, and he gets a new spirit, yeah? The very one that he was supposed to come with initially. So when we go back to look now at the child that was produced when Eve doubted, just like when you were born and me was born, that's what was produced when Eve doubted the word of God. Ever since that time, people are born, the Bible says that all men have fallen short of the glory of God. Because you are born with a nature, a spirit, a nature that is contrary to the nature of God. And at best, that nature can only lead you to hell. Because it can't lead you to God. Something has to happen in between from the moment you are born to the moment you go off the scene. Something has got to happen to bring you back to God. Yeah? Now, when that boy was born, and he has a body, a natural body, that he inherited from his parents, yeah? And he has a spirit that is a fallen spirit, yeah? But then later on, something happens. Now, this boy that's born with this fallen spirit, that's the old man that Paul is speaking about back in the book of Galatians. Ephesians, yeah? That put off the old man and put on the new man. So this old one, that's why he say that it is after deceitful lusts. It can easily be deceived. It's got clouded understanding. Just like when Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, how can a man be born again? He says, unless a man is born again, you will not even understand. Why? Because the understanding is darkened. It cannot even understand the things of God unless you are born again. So this old boy that was born there with the old fallen nature, that's the old man that came after the doubting of Eve. Yeah? But because God so wants us to reunite with them, he has given something else so that you can have the new man again. Yeah? So that's where I want to look at there a little bit, that God has given you a new man. Yeah? But then it is you, Paul is saying, put on the new man. Because if you leave these two to stay together, you are feeding the old man and you are feeding the new man. Maybe not even feeding the new man. Yeah? What's going to happen? The old man, the son of the bond woman, is going to persecute what? The son of the new, of the free woman. And it also says that the son of the bond woman is not heir with the son of the free woman. In fact, the son of the bond woman is not heir at all. The promises of God do not apply to the son of the old bond woman. Yeah? So that's the problem there that the prophet is speaking. That is true. The unbeliever cannot be heir with the believer. There is no way at all. That's where the trouble is today. You can't make a denominational chicken believe with an ego. You just can't do it. There is where trouble comes. You've got to believe every word of God. You are not heirs together. Neither will you join with it. You cannot do it. You've got to be ego or chicken. So because We were born in this way, after the doubting, and we come with this nature that is fallen. But then God gives us a new nature, yeah? And then we kind of like have a dual nature. This one of the old bond woman, this one of the free woman. The problem comes when we live our lives as the son of the bond woman. When the trouble comes out there, situations arise. What comes out of us? Somebody cuts you in traffic. What comes out of you? Maybe you even curse them. I've heard believers do that. Yeah? Situations arise at work and you are squeezed into a corner. What happens? You react in a way that when believers hear you believed that you reacted that way, they are surprised. What's happening? It's because you are living your life as the old man, as the son of the bond woman. But then when we come here now and we try to call upon the promises of God and then nothing happens, then we think there's something wrong with the promises of God. No, there's nothing wrong with the promises of God. The problem we are having is that we are living our lives as the son of the bond woman. We are not living our lives as the son of the free woman, because the promises apply to the son of the free woman, not the son of the bond woman. So when Paul says, put on the old man and put on the new man and put away, it's actually your responsibility. God is not going to do it for you, because God lets you choose. Yeah? And he knows what choices you are going to make. Now, when we look at the body, at this fallen nature and the other new nature, God knows what you are going to choose already. Yeah? The fallen nature is always going to choose the comforts of this world. It's never going to make a choice for God. That's why you have to put it away. Cast away the son of the bond woman and her son. Yeah? It's you who has to do that. It wasn't an easy thing when Sarah said that to Abraham. You cast away that woman. And yet it was her at the very beginning who had caused this thing to happen. Now she says, cast her away and her son. Ishmael was just as much the son of Abraham as Isaac was. And Abraham now had to come to a place where he said, I'm going to have to do this. It wasn't an enjoyable thing or a ceremonial. It was a hard thing for him to say to Hagar. She was innocent. She was a bond woman. She didn't have a decision to make in saying, okay, I want to have... No, she was a bond woman. She was bonded under service to Sarah. And she had to obey her Lord. So when she was told, this is what you are going to do, she had to do it. But then now they turn around and say, out you go. Yeah? She was that close to Abraham. And this boy that was cast out was the very blood of Abraham. Very close to him. So you have a job here to play. Yeah? Because the only person that can know what's really in your heart, it's you and God. Yeah? You are the only person that really knows when somebody steps on your toes and you say, I wish I could get back at them. Or something like that. You may never show it. You come here and you say, God bless you to the sister. God bless you to the brothers. The only person that can know what's really in your heart is yourself and God. Unless maybe God gives us a gift of discernment here and we can tell what's in people. Yeah? So the very, very person that can only do this work that Abraham did to cast away this bond woman is you. Nobody can do it for you. Yeah? Only you can take this bond woman and her son and cast them out. And it's not an easy thing. It's a very difficult thing because Abraham did it and it was very painful for him to see his own son getting cast away with only maybe one day's ration of water into the desert. Yeah? So it is you that actually has to take that old nature and cast it out. And the problem with this son of the bond woman here, yeah, is that it can be so very close to the son of the promise. Yeah? Because they are of the same blood. They all came from Abraham. It can be so close, and it can have, just like that Pharisee who says, I'm not like that man. I fast twice a week. I pay my tithes, I go to church, I help with this and that and that. When you look at those things at that level like that, God doesn't connect with people on that level. There's another level where God connects with people. It is in the level of, I have attended church, I've helped this saint here, I help in church with this, I have fasted, I've prayed my tithes. That's not the level that God connects with people. There's another deeper level where God connects with people. Yeah? And when you don't connect with God on that level, don't ever think that the promises of God that he has made to the son of the free woman can ever come to pass in your life. Yeah? Out of your own nature, maybe, you could go out there and shift for yourself and get things and come here and give a testimony and say, praise the Lord, this is what the Lord has done for me. Yeah? But maybe sometimes it's not the Lord. And those things are just happening like that to deceive you. And one of the ways you can know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs somewhere, that the blessings of the Lord makes rich. Yeah? And he adds no sorrow with it. So when you get a blessing and you say this blessing is from the Lord, but 2 months later, that very thing you testify to be a blessing from the Lord begins to give you headaches, was it really from the Lord? Because the Lord blesses and he doesn't add sorrow with it. So you get a good, maybe something that you say, this is great, I've got this from the Lord. But 2 months later, you start saying, this thing has given me such a hard time. Was that really from the Lord? I wouldn't want to be deceived. If there's anything in my life I don't want, is to be deceived. So I would look really in my life and say, Lord, what kind of a man am I? Am I living after the old man or it is the new man? Because the job is mine to put away this old man. No one is going to come to me and put the old man away for me. It's me. And if I am going to be an heir of the promises of God, it is through the new man. It is through the son of the free woman, not the son of the bond woman. Yeah? I hope that you are understanding me. Now, as it is written, the Bible says, Jacob have I loved, Esau I hated. God saying that. Yeah? That's another allegory there. God hated Esau. Yeah? And the Bible goes on to say, is there unrighteousness with God? Now, I just want to bring it back again to the individual. Jacob and Esau were the sons of same father, same mother. Yeah? So how really can one of them be hated, the other one loved? Before any of the children was born, God hated one, loved the other one. Because God knew already from the very beginning, before they were here, what kind of choices they were going to make. To me, it speaks, I know they are of both the same father and same mother, but it speaks as well of the person, the individual, how close your old nature and your new nature are to one another. Yeah? That's how Esau and Jacob were. The son of one father, one mother. Same blood, same genes, everything. Yeah? That's your old nature and your new nature. And your old nature is going to choose the things of this world. It will always do that. That's why God says, I have hated the old man. I've hated Esau because he's going to choose those things. He's not going to esteem the things of God. But it is only the new man, yeah? Jacob, that's going to choose. He's going to do everything that he can to make sure he gets that birthright. And God knew that before any of the children did anything. He knew that one day this boy is going to pull every stop to get the birthright. And it pleased God. That's why God said, I loved him. Yeah? But he knew that one day Esau is going to throw away the birthright, just like that, because he doesn't care for it. All he wants is the things of this world. All he wants is the comfort. When it gets cold, he'll do everything he can to get warm. When he has to work maybe a hard job, he's going to do everything he can to work an easy job. That's what Esau would do. When he gets hungry, he's going to give anything that he can give just so he can get something to quench his hunger. Yeah? That's what the old man does. And you, if you, your nature is like that, then you can identify your old man there. That I'm living after the old man. I'm like being Esau. And God hated Esau. And if he hated Esau, he's going to hate your old nature as well. Because it's never going to choose the things of God. But only the new nature, when you have the new nature, it is the nature that is fashioned after the righteousness of God, the Bible says. Yeah? It says that, sorry. Ephesians. It says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yeah? True holiness. Why? Because there is also false holiness. Remember the Pharisee? He had something that he classified as holiness. But these things that he was depending on, they were nature-given holiness. He had a certain level of faith, but it was a nature-given faith, not a God-given faith. Yeah? He could really go up the stature of a perfect man and build everything, all the way to brotherly kindness, what. But all of that would be just, his nature is like that. Yeah? But it wasn't God-given. That's why the Bible says there, true holiness, because there is fake holiness that you can put on. But the only person that knows what kind of holiness that I have is you, nobody else. The only person that can know that when I go home, I lie on my bed and I'm meditating, what kind of things do I meditate on? You can even put on a message and you are listening to a message, but your mind is far from that. It's meditating on something else. You can sit here, it's quiet time, people are reading their Bibles and some are praying silently and you are also maybe praying silently. But the only person that really knows the nature of your heart is yourself. You know? And if you are that kind of a person and you are in a place where you struggle with the old man, you can't put him away easy. These things are said for your benefit, so that you can do something about it now, before it becomes too late, before the time comes when you are standing before the Lord. Because who knows what time you will go? Nobody. Tonight, there will be 16-year-olds that will die tonight. Tomorrow morning, there will be 36-year-olds that will die. And they don't know that at this very time, that my time is now just being counted in hours. Other people, their time is being counted in days. Other in months. You never know. So that's why when these things are said, it is for your own good that you can really look at yourself and say, am I deceiving myself? Is there something that is deceiving me? What kind of a nature? What kind of things do I desire for? Desire. What kind of things really do I desire in my heart when I lie on my bed and say, oh, I wish I could do this. Is it things of the Lord? Or is it things of this world? And when you look and search yourself tonight and look, see if you are the son of the free woman or the bond woman. And if that is the case there, you are the son of the free woman, then help us to call upon the promises of God because they apply to you. There's many needy people. Many are sick here. I'm very sick. But if we can call on the Lord, these promises are to us, Paul says. They apply to us as the children of the free woman. But if we are living after the old son of the bond woman, then let's use this as an opportunity, as Brother Max comes there. Let's use this as an opportunity to reach out to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to live after the son of the bond woman. I want to be the son of a free woman. Because that one is the only one that is heir to the promises of God. The promises of God are with condition. They will not apply to the son of the bondwoman. And if we are living as the sons of the bondwoman, let's do something about it so that the Lord can really be merciful to us and that we may be the sons and put away that old nature and put on the new nature.
Amen. Let's sing the song, Search Me, O Lord. Amen.
change me, oh God. And oh my heart today, try me, oh Savior. Search me, Lord. Oh, search me, oh Lord. Oh, and know my heart today. Oh, try me, oh Savior. I pray, oh, save the pain, some wicked way in me. Oh, cleanse me from every sin.
Let us bow our heads. Jesus Christ says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. That's our opportunity tonight, that we could look at this man and do like what he did. Perhaps maybe we are not in that position in our lives. We have moved on from that. So let's pray then for the others that are still behind a little bit, that they may also catch up with us, because we want to see the manifestation of God. And if there is one, just even one Achan in the camp, there won't be those manifestations. But we want to see them. And I know everybody is desiring that. So let us pray, put ourselves before the Lord. Say, Lord, search me. Be merciful to me, O God. Because we want to be like the son of the free woman, so that those promises may break forth on us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, O God, what a loving Father thou art. Just as we remain in a place of prayer, we have a number of programs in our church. we are faced in a few weeks' time with the youth meetings, all the arrangements and all these things. We can do what we can as men. But if God is not in it, then it's work that is done in vain. The ministers are arranged, they are preparing themselves. But we also need for our young people to prepare themselves. So we ought to commit them into the hands of the Lord, because we are living in such dangerous times. You just never know when this whole earth could come crumbling one day. It could be tomorrow, it could even be tonight, because the hour is late, it's very late. So we are zealous for our young people, we love them. We want them to meet with the Lord. Many of them have met with the Lord. They are walking with the Lord. But we want all of them to meet with the Lord, to walk with the Lord. And it begins now in the preparation services as we pray for them, pray for the meetings. We want something to happen there. So just in your own way, if we could just pray for these meetings, perhaps as an individual, you could just maybe take somebody that you have been trying to disciple as a sister or a brother, just take them and pray for them tonight, that something will happen, because the devil is already at work trying to hinder many of the young people from attending the meetings. So just take one person that you could pray for among our young people and commit them into the Lord now, that maybe the Lord could meet with them and move circumstances in their lives, and that when the meetings finish, it won't be just another passing revival, but it will be a divine appointment that something would have happened to them, and they've made that decision to put away the old man. It is not an easy thing. It's a painful thing. And because of the pain, many don't do it. But we pray, if we pray for them, that God would grant them grace, and they may do like Abraham did, cast out the bondwoman and her son, that the free woman and her son may enjoy the promises of God. So just take someone and let's pray for them. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, just as we close now, if we could remember, our pastor is in Nepal. They've been having a very good time there, and they continue to ask for your prayers. Also, Brother Eli is in Turkey, he's away. If we could pray for him. Also, Sister Dube sent a message. She had to travel to Cork. I think her sister lost her mother-in-law, and they were also asking for prayers. And we all know of Sister Becky, her situation at this time. And even yesterday at the doctor's office, I also met Sister Bibish. She's having trouble with her eyes. So let us pray for her as well, and commit the weekend services also into the hands of the Lord, that he may meet with us again. So let's pray, and after that we'll just ask if Brother Maxwell Sr. could come and close for us. Our dear Heavenly Father,
our dear Lord Jesus, we thank you, the Lord, tonight. Your spotlight from the lighthouse, Lord, have been thrown upon us. And Lord, it has exposed specks of our old nature, O God. But Lord, tonight we are seeing you as our high priest, seated on the right hand of majesty, receiving our confessions, Lord. So, Father, we've confessed them tonight, seeking the Lord Jesus for once, O God, you help us, Lord, to overcome. We know that, Lord, we are weak, and it is not easy, looking at Abraham, to cast his own blood into the wilderness. But, Lord, when Abraham obeyed, it was a blessing unto him. And tonight, Lord, we see ourselves as the seeds of Abraham, and we claim that authority that we will possess every gates of the enemy. And for once, Lord, we say no. Forever and ever, our old nature, Lord Jesus, we nail them and bury them, O God, that, Lord, we could walk in the newness of life, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, the Lord, tonight. Oh, your blood has washed ever all this old nature away, O God. We thank you. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Tonight, there have been many requests, Lord Jesus. Oh, the sick amongst us, Lord. Even myself, my left shoulder. I can look at my precious brother George, Wilmore, Brother Mike, oh, Sister Bibi, and as many that are, Lord Jesus, even, oh God, we don't know, but you know, Lord. Amen. Father, we take inspiration, Lord Jesus. Oh, that day when your disciples asked, this man who was born blind and dumb, Lord, who sinned? Said, this man never sinned, or the parents never sinned. But that, Lord Jesus, oh, for the work of God, the power of God to be made manifest, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we believe that, oh God, you want to put the enemy to shame. Oh, and so you allow all these things to happen, oh God, that, Lord Jesus, healing will take place, Lord, that we will see your glory, Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, we accept our healing tonight. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, the Lord. Your hands, Lord, have touched each and everyone. And we will come back, Lord, to give glory and testimony to the glory of your name, Lord. Father, oh, we want to remember our pastor far away in Nepal. Oh, Lord Jesus, we know that, oh God, you are everywhere. And the Lord Jesus, there is for a purpose, oh God, that he has to be there, Lord. So, Father, let that purpose of God, oh, Lord, be a living bread, Lord Jesus, unto the people, oh, God. And even, Father, as we commit, Lord Jesus, we remember our sister Becky and our sister Dube, who is also visiting the sister who has lost the mother, oh, God. Father, we pray that, Lord, you are the comforter. Father, comfort every family in this situation, Lord Jesus. And that, Lord, for we know that, Lord, this is not the end of it. But, Lord, we know that, Lord Jesus, one of these days, oh God, we are going to see each and everyone in glory. So, Lord, we thank you. We bless you, Lord Jesus, for the inspiration you have given to us by your word tonight. And, Lord, we thank you for our precious brother, Wilmore, that you have used him, Lord, tonight, oh God, to bring this mystery, Lord, unto us. Oh, Lord, for tonight, oh God, we know we have been set free. And so, Lord Jesus, bless him, oh God, and his family. Oh, Lord, we pray that, oh God, you continue to use him, oh Lord Jesus, oh, to unveil all these kind of mysteries that, Lord, we need, oh God. Father, we thank you also, Lord, for the song leader, and the musicians, Lord, that you they brought, oh, Lord Jesus, your music and songs, oh, God, for us to lift up your name, oh, God. Father, in all, bless you for everyone here tonight. Our brethren who weren't able to come, Lord, we know why they aren't here. But Lord Jesus, we know the blessings we have received here, oh, God, oh, they have received their portion also. And Father, even as you brought us in, as we are going back, Lord, Father, we pray that you grant us once more journey mercies. And the Lord, the week, oh, that is to end tomorrow. And then we start a new week on Sunday, oh Lord. Father, we commit it into your hands that once again you come down and visit us, Lord, and bless us, oh Lord, this coming Sunday. We thank you. We give all the glory to you. Thank you, Jesus. In all things, you say your name be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.